following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, if you would, turn to Acts 5:15. This is going to be a quick word. You believe that? Acts 5:15. I'm really going to try to expedite this word this morning. We have outreach today. Everybody have a Bible? Won't you see? You ready for the teaching title? Healing happens in a faith-charged atmosphere. Healing happens in a faith-charged atmosphere, part one. You know, before the disciples, before Jesus left town, left the country, left the world, he said, hang out and wait for the Holy Ghost. Acts 5:15. In Acts 2, we're told that the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Y'all know the story. Well, look what happened. When the Holy Spirit came, it came with an awesome anointing. Listen, guys, thousands of people were saved. I mean, up to 8,000 people saved within the first few weeks alone of this phenomenal visitation, besides healings. In fact, the healing was so powerful. Acts 5:15 says, insomuch they brought forth the sick into the streets. The literal rendering in the Greek is in every street, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. They came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Now that's phenomenal. Everybody got healed. Everybody got delivered. And there was so much power on the leadership that they would map out where Peter walked every day. Remember, Peter was the one that lifted the guy that was lame from his youth, from his birth. Remember? And the gate beautiful. And they mapped out and they laid people out. If just maybe his shadow. Now that's power. You know, I guess they figured out if it was morning time, they'd have him on one side of the street. It was afternoon, they have it on the other. They calculated where the shadow is. I got to get up. And there was a point of contact. There's something about healing, anointing. Listen, it's a point of contact. It's a principle of the doctrine of Christ, Hebrews 6:1, laying on of hands, a point of contact. That's one of the reasons I think it's important to have someone go to this revival and a point of contact. You understand, to be imparted the touch of the anointing. I don't understand that principle, but it's true nonetheless. So it was a phenomenal thing. Now look at chapter 8:5. Philip went down to Samaria. He was one of the stewards, and the Lord released him to go. And look at this. Philip went to the city of Samaria, preached Christ, and the people with one accord gave heed to the things Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many, possessed with demons. And many taken with paralysis and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. Man, you know, the Samaritans were a mixed breed, heavily demonized, tremendous movement of deliverance, healing, paralysis, people coming out of first century versions of wheelchairs. So the question is, what brought about the astounding signs and wonders? And this is really what I want to examine, because God is graciously beginning to move this way in the States. And what does the Word say? I want to back it up the Word. I want to stay balanced in the Scripture. What is it that happened? Acts 2:42. What is it, first, that brought it about, and what maintained it? I really believe what brought it about was the visitation of the Holy Spirit. But how many of y'all know the visitation of the Holy Spirit has happened many times, but the signs and wonders have not been maintained? A lot of revivals that occur are for a season, but they're not maintained. There's not an abiding anointing. God has been really gracious to New Wine. I don't know if you realize how blessed we are, but we have had a constant abiding anointing on one level here for years and years and years and years. There's been a constant abiding anointing in this church. God has consistently anointed, particularly the Friday night meeting, for almost two decades. Phenomenal anointing. God is gracious. And there's a reason there's an abiding anointing. I believe God wants to ratchet up the anointing. And if you have the principles down, it'll remain. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about wineskin and new wine. You can get new wine, but God gives wineskin to hold the new wine. If you don't have the proper wineskin, you can get the new wine, it'll run out. So there's this whole, that's why it's not just evangelists, it's also pastors and teachers. Amen. And pastors and apostles. There's a fivefold ministry. And God moves evangelically, but the fishermen catch the fish. Somebody's got to clean them. So there can be the pouring out of the new wine, but there's got to be a wineskin to hold the new wine. And my role as a pastor teacher, you know, in the local church is trustfully, hopefully the Lord could bring the anointing here, but I want to see it abide and ratchet up and abide anointing where it springs forth from us. It's almost like you need a, you know, like a, you take a candle and you pass it on, the light. You don't have to go back to the original source. The light can continue. But God wants to build us. And the first thing I saw in Acts 2:42 was the key. 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. First, let me tell you, the signs and wonders was a result of the faith-charged atmosphere. There was an atmosphere of faith. And an atmosphere of faith, signs and wonders will continue. It's that simple. It's faith. It's nothing but faith. It's an atmosphere of faith. That's why testimonies are so powerful. One of the things that's happened in revival is the brother will move under the gifting of the anointing, words of knowledge. But it's when the testimonies, people come up, cross-section of Americana, giving these testimonies of some phenomenal things. That's what raises your faith. The question here I have is, what brings and what sustains a faith-charged atmosphere? It brings a pure and audacious boldness. You know, faith has to do with boldness, audacious boldness, just out-of-the-box boldness. What brings boldness? I was thinking about in the Old Testament, Jonathan and his armor-bearer, Paul and Silas in jail, the two lepers that marched into that city, the enemy's camp. I really believe, listen, there are seven principles, interesting enough, I found seven principles in the next chapters of Acts, listen, that will sustain a faith-charged atmosphere. And I really want you to hear this. I think this is the Lord's time, and I put this sermon together about a month ago. And I didn't have a release until this week to share it. Because God's opened a door to go ahead and begin to release some people to go and get some impartation. Huh? There are seven principles in the early chapters of Acts of what it takes to sustain a faith-charged atmosphere. So what I want to see is when our atmosphere gets up to a certain level of faith, we stay there. Right? Not dribble back or default back to some kind of whatever. So what tonight? Today we're just going to look at two. I want to just look at them real carefully, real slowly, take our time. This is part one. Healing happens in a faith-charged atmosphere. This really gets down to you. Do you want to see the Lord move in this place to demonstrate signs and wonders to set captives free? That people can come here, are hurting and pain, hopeless, terminal, can come and know there's a place to come to get free. Do you want to see that? But I want to tell you, the Lord has a bigger agenda. It's not just to get people physically healed. It's to make disciples. It's to get them saved. It's to get them to be disciples and replicate and duplicate and clone who they are in others. That's His long-term agenda. And you see that in the Gospels. When Christ would do these healing campaigns, you know what His real agenda was? To get the masses, the quantity, so He could find the quality and pull them out to be disciples. You understand? Pour His life out to them. And then send them forth. That's really the game plan of the Lord. It's never changed. The church uses all kinds of things in America and most of Christendom in the last several generations to get people, you know, all kinds of things. And none of them are biblical. The biblical way to get people is demonstration of the gospel of signs and wonders with God's word being confirmed with healing the sick, raising the dead. That's God's way. And amazingly enough, it works. Because people come, and they stay, and they get excited when the works of the kingdom are done. Nothing else works very long. And it's amazing. You ever open up the religious section of the... Well, there used to be the religious section on Saturday in the Chronicle. It used to be Christian. Now it's Buddhist and Hindu and Muslim, Islamic. You might find a few little Christian things on there. It's real sad. But there was a time, and even then you look at that, so many things the church is doing that's so ridiculous. These not large, giant, denominational churches, their whole focus is family and kids and goodies and parades and festivities. Look, you know, there's nothing wrong with any of that except that's the focus. You know, you look at a series on parenting skills, a series on, and I'll look at this thing, or like, you know, the just as bad on the non-denominational charismatic side, the whole focus is prosperity and wealth and to have your best life now. It's all the focuses have to do with the world and appealing to the flesh. And people go because it's meeting their emotional and their soulless need. And God never intended the emotion or the soulless need to be met apart from the spirit, because they're going to hell. And they need Jesus to be born of the Spirit, and they need spiritual food, which is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and die to the soul. And the irony is, when you die to the soul, God blesses the soul. You become the best parent in the world when you're dead to self, alive to Christ. You have become the best, you have all the best career in the world when you're dead to your career and you're alive to God. I asked the Lord, I'm in a business, you know, that has a lot of, it's just like any other business, investments and insurance and all that. And I asked the Lord, and He has a lot of hype in it, like there is, and a lot of rah-rah meetings. And one day, I just got tired. I've been with the business almost 6 years. I've worked myself up to the top, regional vice president. And I said to the Lord one day, I said, Lord, would you bless the socks off me financially without any of the hype? I'd like to be a record. I would like to have been really blessed in that company, make good money, and yet I didn't do any what they're doing. And I could stand up in one of those meetings, because, you know, if God, they may open, I'd love it. They open the door and they let me stand up because I made some good money. And I'd sit there and say, guys, to be honest with you, I really kind of mess up on this. I'm not very good at that. I really am not very consistent in that. But you know what? I have a quiet time every day, and I put this whole business to the feet of Jesus, and I'm willing to walk away from it at any time, and He blesses me. It'd be dead silence in the room, except for the believers. And yet it's the truth. To bring the spiritual truth in the world. Can I amen? And the sad thing is, the churches, that's what they preach. And yet we need something scriptural. I want the power to come and stay. Do y'all? Okay, so we're going to look at that. Just going to look at two today. Bo says I have 6 minutes. Bo works real hard on these outreach things. He really does. Really wants y'all to honor him for it. And he's faithful. And so he's trying to keep it all within time. So he says, Pastor, you got to be done by noon. And I said, okay, Bo, maybe 12:05. So I'm going to be faithful. But we're just going to look at two today. Two of the 7 principles of what will maintain a faith-charged atmosphere. You ready for number one? We're just going to look at two. Number one is in verse 42 of chapter 2. Here it is. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. You know what that says to me? You know the first principle to maintain a faith-charged atmosphere? You ready? Ongoing submission to the ministered word and teaching. That's it. Ongoing submission to the anointed word. That's all it was. They consistently sat under the preaching and the ministry of the word. In fact, I want to show you a couple of quick verses. John 8:31. John 8:31. Just go left in your Bible. 8:31. This is a discipleship verse. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Everybody knows verse 32. How many knows it was preceded by verse 31? In fact, chiseled on the concrete of, I think, many educational institutions of higher learning. Know the truth. But what they leave out is, if you continue in My word, you know the truth. You know, I propose that criterion for discipleship is to continue under the word, to sit under the word. It is absolutely essential to sit under the anointed word. Not just the word, the anointed word. And in my belief in this church, it shouldn't just come from me. God's given me, thank you Jesus, an anointed ability to teach the word. But still, in spite of the fact I have a gifting in that, my disciples that I disciple, I don't want me to be the exclusive one that does that. That's why I recommend everyone that's in Koinonia come to Sunday school and sit under some other anointed, just anointed teaching. Whether it's an individual or tapes we bring in, I believe it's important that we sit under the anointed word. Can you hear an amen? A balanced anointing. Do not sit under Christian TV. I warn you, do not watch Christian TV. Maybe once in a blue moon, if there's something special. It's just like a hodgepodge buffet of food. You know how you ever go to a buffet and it's like 3 in the afternoon? Got to one of these Denny's, they'll have a buffet at lunch. But if you go out about 3:30 in the afternoon, you ever look at the buffet? Some of that stuff, it's got mayonnaise in it. You want to be careful. You know what I'm talking about? Now, there may be some of the raisin salad with the corn, with the carrot might be good, but you got to be real careful or you're going to get sick. That's how the Christian TV is. You may have somebody like Arthur Blessed get on there. You know, that one time I was watching him on Christian TV, and I felt the anointing come right in the room. I love Arthur, but a guy that carried the cross around, great. And right after him was some clown up there just begging for money and going, yeah, it's just gaga. You gotta, I just say, stay away from it. Some people, that's their church. They wonder why they never grow up in Christ. God, I don't see anywhere in the Word says sit around the house and watch TV. And we've watched people. We've talked to people when we've gone door to door. We say, you know, go to church. Well, I watch Christian TV. And I tied to Benny Hinn. Well, I'm sure Benny Hinn likes that, but I don't think that's biblical. Look at chapter 15, verse 3 of John. The first principle, sit under the anointed Word. 15:3. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you. I love that. Now you're clean. Jesus said, if you sit under the word, guys, listen, the word cleans your mind out. There's something about the washing of the water of the word that cleans your mind out. Right now, your mind's being clean. I'm sitting here, I'm just ranting and raving, I'm getting all ampy. You know, I'm not talking boring. Do you like preachers who talk like this? And children, we must, yeah, I'm sorry, I like something that wakes you up. That's why I like that tattooed, pierced, biker dude evangelist. Ain't no sleeping watching him. He screams, when he is preaching, he turns inside out. His spirit is right there. And no wonder people are rising from the dead. You know, with that, I'm serious. You know why Peter's shadow healed? Wait, listen. Do you know why? Because Peter was raw, pure, 100% inside out for Jesus. And that's why the anointing just flowed out of him. Look, guys, you cannot do whatever you do half-heartedly. Amen? And people feel that. So the Word cleans you, and it's under the anointing of the Word, under the anointing of the Spirit. Now, the last verse is chapter 17. Verse 17, then we're going to look at the second principle and be done. 17:17, John 17:17. Sanctify them, Jesus said, through thy truth, O Father, thy word is truth. You know what? There is so many lies. The world, the flesh, and the devil, media, everything is streaming lies. I am so disgusted by the political dynamic of the day. There is an element of honesty and truth and integrity, and it's coated with obfuscated and covered with lies and deception and greed and ambition. It's just sickening. The only thing that's true is what comes out of the Scripture balanced in the Holy Ghost anointing. We need truth, guys. Be careful, even if you don't sit under, be careful how much news media you sit under. I don't think you need to be naive, but you need to be wise and discriminatory and discerning. There's so much gaga out there. Don't buy into this Obama Messiah junk. I kind of think Barry Obama is probably a nice guy. I'll be honest with you. He's probably a pretty nice guy. I kind of picked that up from him. And probably a whole lot nicer than the woman he was running against. I kind of like the guy. The problem is his belief system is this absolutely, totally socialist Marxist, and he's pretty naive. But bottom line, I think he's a nice guy. I think you need to pray for him because I think he needs to know Jesus. He went to some church, I think, to find Jesus, and the Reverend Wright is just some racist maniac that hates America. And this guy probably went there to find Jesus. So pray for him. Pray for him that he comes to Jesus. Can I amen? Pray for his wife, too. She comes to Jesus. He claims to be a believer. The bottom line is but the point is, guys, there is so much gaga you're going to hear in the next few months. Are you aware of that? Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And just take most of it with a grain of salt. Get through it. Just say, oh, Jesus, you're in charge. Just give us a leader that's going to protect us from the maniacs out there in the world. You know, they're not out there. Did y'all know the United States has enemies? We forget that. So, Lord, protect us. Okay, the last place, back to Acts 2. In conclusion, Acts 2:44. Bo, I got 4 minutes, dude. I am doing it. I'm looking at seven principles. Listen, Acts 2:44. Seven principles that maintain a faith-charged atmosphere. Now listen, number one, most important of all, is to sit under the anointing word, the scripture. In fact, I don't have any problem with preaching, but I like preaching that has a word in it. Revelational truth. I thank God for Norman Parrish, who God put me under over 20 years ago. Because Norman has a unique ministry in the third world of signs and wonders and deliverance of phenomenal. And yet, all the years that I ever hear Norman teach, he always goes deep into the word. And he likes to extract cool revelation and principles. I like that. That's why I'm not submitted to him. I said, because it wasn't just pablum or, you know, preaching. It was teaching. But it was under anointing. I think teaching under anointing is where it's at. There are a lot of ministries that believe there's preaching. It's just saying the same thing over different ways 15 times. And then there's teaching, which is boring. And so I kind of like teaching under the anointing. Amen? Last place, Acts 2:44. Now we're going to look at the second principle that maintains a faith-charged atmosphere. Look at 44. And all that believed were together, and they had all things common. Whoa. They sold the possessions of good and parted to them to every man as he had need. Now, you know what? I actually lived in a world like that for 2 years of my life. I lived in a community Christian environment in the 1975 and 76. I subsequently lived in the community, but I lived in a all shared, where there were actually 400 people here in the Houston area, in 40 different communal households, and everybody shared everything we owned. It was a phenomenal experiment of the kingdom of God. It was easy for me. I didn't own anything. I was, 23 when I showed up. You know, I didn't own anything. I think I owned a bike, a box of stuff. But there was a guy who came in. There were people giving up Mercedes. There was people gave up, literally people were giving their homes away, signing the title of homes to other people. A phenomenal level of Christian community. And I'll never forget the depth and the length and the breadth of the presence of God that came in our meetings. In fact, guys, I have never seen the like since on this planet in my life because of the level of sacrificial giving. So God's blessed me. So when I read these verses, it brings back memories of having lived in an environment like this. But let me share you something with you. The second principle here that's going to maintain a faith-charged environment is not necessarily to do the same thing. Because that was unique to the book of Acts. It went on. There were many Christian communities that thrived and grew, maintained a faith charge without completely giving up everything. But there's a principle here. You ready for the principle? Willingness to separate yourself from the idolatry of possessions. That's the second principle. To maintain a faith charge, you've got to let go of the idolatry of possessions, which is the world just lives for stuff. Stuff. Solomon says, what good are things save in the beholding of your eyes? I mean, what good is stuff? It's going to burn. Right? I mean, I looked at Bill Gates the other day. Guy's got so much money, $50 billion, and he was being interviewed. And I thought, you know, with all that money, the guy still looks like a dork. Yeah, wear an old dork shirt and everything. He didn't have white... He didn't have, I'm kidding. He was kind of one of those computer geek guys. But, you know, there's a point where there's enough money, right? But we have this thing in America. There are so many people, their whole goal in life is just to get more. A better house, a better car, a better this, a better that, a better that. That's the heart. And the Bible says the abundance of life does not consist in the abundance of things which you possess, Christ said. You can have all this stuff. Jesus said, what does it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Or what can be given in exchange for the soul? The irony is, when you die to the possessive idolatry, greed of stuff, God blesses you. He can trust you. He'll give you stuff because he knows you won't kneel before it and look at it and covet. Ooh, I'm glad I have it and others don't. Whoa, dude. Watch out. Fire from heaven. Burn that thing up. Amen? God wants to kill that idolatry. Guys, everything in the media and advertising is trying to get you to get more stuff. Amen? You need this. It's a constant source. Now, granted, I do need the new Mac Airport portable. I mean, I do need the new 3-ounce laptop Airport that, yeah, I know I need that. Now, other than that, you know, we all have our thing. That's what gets me. I go to Apple.com and look at the new, it's called the MacBook Air, and I just go, ooh. And some of y'all go, that doesn't mean anything to me, but you got your deal. Like Miss Christine here, she goes on Craigslist and sees this bookcase. Ooh, I know you're lost. Well, Linda, I mean, I could tell you all these sins. Yeah. Amen. The Lord's after our heart. Guys, I want to close. Those are the two principles this morning. Again, to maintain the faith charge atmosphere, number one. And I'm just digging in the book of Acts. What kept the power that his shadow healed? What kept the power where Philip could export deliverance? You know what it was? Number one, they sat out of the word. And number two, they were willing to give up their stuff for the kingdom. Something bigger than the world was among them. And they were willing to sacrifice accordingly. Amen.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.